Welcome back. This is Debbie Whitlock, and you are listening to Femme Finance on the I'm Thankful Network. Now, before the break, we were talking with Seattle area attorney Stacey Romberg about some of the documents that we need in putting together our personal estate plan. So we've covered wills. We know we need a will, and Stacey explained to us a little bit about probate and that even with a will, your estate will still go into probate. It just will make it a more streamlined process. That's my word, non-lawyerly speak. It'll make it more streamlined process, and it'll make it less confusion for your family. And the other thing we talked about was the power of attorney, the durable power of attorney for healthcare, which I personally have incredibly strong feelings about this, making sure that, you know, in a time of crisis, of absolute confusion and chaos, that your family knows and understands what your ultimate wishes and desires are in terms of life-sustaining support assistance in reviving you at the end of your life. And I think that, absolutely, you know, most of us remember Terri Schiavo and just, you know, the horrible turmoil that her family, you know, faced here a number of years ago surrounding this. And I think that anytime you can provide this type of clarity to your family in a time of crisis, and you know what, guys? This is not easy stuff. These are not easy conversations to have. And I know I've had them with my husband, and we've really, you know, toiled around on some of these issues. And I know we've talked about it with my own parents. We've talked about it with Pat's parents. But they're important conversations to have. And while they might be uncomfortable in the moment, the relief that's felt in the actual moment of crisis is the greatest gift you can give your family. So we know we need the will. We know we need the durable power of attorney. What else do we need to add to our tool chest here, Stacey?
Well, leading, I think, right into exactly what you were saying, Debbie, is the healthcare directive,
Okay. Which
is also called the living will. And that's exactly the whole Terri Schiavo issue,
right,
if you recall, is that she did not have this document. So she was kept alive by artificial means. And I can't emphasize enough how much I agree with exactly what you were saying and how important those conversations are. And it's really important that when you think about who you want to act for you if you're unable to make your own healthcare decisions,
right,
whether or not they agree with those kind of values. So say if you have gone ahead and executed a healthcare directive because you don't want to be kept alive by artificial means.
Right.
Putting on the lawyer hat a little bit as opposed to civilian hat, you know, from a doctor's standpoint, that's a scary thing.
Right.
Because, quote unquote, pulling the plug, there can be a lot of liability involved with that. So think,
yes,
about the situation for a doctor. If there's a healthcare directive involved, but yet there's a person that you've appointed to be in charge of your wishes, and that person saying, no, don't do it. Don't pull the plug. No way, no way, I'm going to sue. What's really going to happen there, you know, in terms of the doctor and all the kind of liability involved? In all likelihood, nobody's going to do anything.
Right.
And your wishes aren't going to be carried out.
Right.
So just be super careful about who you appoint and the conversations you have. Then moving on to another document that I think is important is the general durable power of attorney. And what that is we just talked about a power of attorney that governs healthcare.
Okay.
This document governs finances.
All right.
Together these documents work together to prevent a situation where if you're incapacitated for some time, somebody would have to come in and get a guardian appointed for you.
Okay.
Which is a big, huge, expensive hassle of a process. And so in the power of attorney, you basically appoint someone that you really trust who's going to be able to act for you in a financial capacity if you're not able to do so.
Okay.
And another advantage of that document here in Washington, which is a somewhat recent legislative change, is that you can include provisions in that document for child care.
Oh.
So say if you're in a coma, you're incapacitated, but guess what? Your kids are still there.
Right.
Who's going to take care of your kids? Who's going to sign the consent forms for the kids at school?
Right.
Who's going to, you know, sign the forms for the kids if they have medical issues?
Mm.
You can take care of all of those temporary sorts of issues in the general durable power of attorney,
okay,
which is a real advantage of that document. Other documents include memorial instructions.
Okay.
What do you want to have happen at your death? And that can be, from a legal standpoint, tremendously important if you want cremation.
Exactly.
But there are people in your family that are philosophically opposed to cremation because, again, putting on that, you know, liability hat,
right.
You know, the people that do cremations, they want to make sure that they're not going to get in trouble for doing that.
Sure.
And they like to have, you know, a written document that indicates that, you know, clearly that that's what you wanted and that's what your wishes are.
Okay.
Some states, including Washington, you can have a mental health care directive.
Okay.
So if you're concerned about, you know, if you're not able to fully understand the nature of your mental health treatment,
mm-hmm.
that while you're in a place where you are understanding, comprehending that, that you can set forth the kind of treatment that you do and do not want to have.
Okay.
Not a lot of people have that, but if you have a history of mental health issues, it's an excellent idea.
Wonderful.
To take a look at that. And finally, if you're in a state that is a community property state,
right.
A community property agreement can be a great vehicle to avoid a probate at the first death between husband and wife.
Okay. All right. All right, good. So we have quite a few things that we need to make sure we get on our list. I'm sitting here going through my own head going, maybe it's time to update our will. So that's that actually brings me to another question for you. So I think many people think that, well, we did our will 5 years ago. We did our will 10 years ago. We did our will 15 years ago. Whenever we did it, we got it done. We don't need to be listening to this anymore. Stacey, in your practice, in your professional opinion, how often should people visit with their attorney to have their will examined to determine if it's current and up to date? How often should people revisit this and update their wills potentially?
That's a great question. Our office reminds our clients typically every 5 years
okay.
to take a look at it, which I think is standard. But keep in mind that ultimately, really, if you're my client, it's your responsibility
okay.
and not my responsibility to take care of some of these things, meaning that I may not be here
right.
in 5 years to give you the reminder that you need.
Where are you going?
Hopefully someplace fun. It's fun. But the types of issues that would trigger a review of your estate planning documents are, for example, moving to another state, because all of everything we're talking about today is governed by state law. So it goes state by state in terms of the validity of your documents and the different types of things that you need to make everything effective. A second factor is whether or not there's a death in the family.
Okay.
If you get married.
Right.
If you get divorced, your kids reaching the age of majority, age 18, you know, perhaps they're in a situation where there no longer needs to be a trust for them. They're able to handle money on their own. Hallelujah. That's
Yay.
A great place to be.
Yeah, I know. I know parents are hoping for that.
A change in the tax law, which we may or may not get into this morning, but some of the tax changes that are currently going on around estate tax are a little
yes.
crazy at the moment. Whether or not, you know, you've won the lottery, whether
right.
you have a significant increase or a decrease, which a lot of people unfortunately are experiencing now in their assets,
right.
Or some sort of change in the life situation of your beneficiaries. Let's
okay.
say, you know, like one of your relatives has lost a job.
Right.
And so you're concerned that the situation may go on for some time and you want to adjust your estate planning documents to make sure that that person receives a little bit extra assistance
okay.
in the event of your death. Or, you know, as we were just talking about in terms of the legacy piece, suppose some of your priorities change
mm.
and you want to change and tweak your charitable distributions. I think it's important for people to keep in mind, you know, that really once you've gone ahead and you've done your estate plan, you've really done the vast bulk of the work that you need to do.
Right.
And you've incurred the majority of the expenses that you're going to have to incur.
Right.
So chances are when you go back in and you want things revised, it's just a matter of tweaking what's already there.
Got it. Okay, good. All right. So now we're going to head to one of my pet peeves, and I know this is one of Stacey's favorite things to talk about, which is I know there's somebody out there. Yes, I can see you. You know I can see you. Who said, well, this is all great. This is wonderful. And you're in your car right now and you're driving to Staples or some other office supply store to purchase your do-it-yourself will kit. You're getting all this great information from Stacey Romberg here. And you're thinking, well, great. I'm just going to take this. I'm going to pop in that disk into my computer. I'm going to fill it out and ta-da, I have my will. Share with us a little bit about what happens when people try to cut some corners financially and go the do-it-yourself route instead of sitting down with an estate planning attorney?
Well, obviously, that's not something I'm going to recommend. That's certainly not a good idea. And I think back, Debbie, to when I was in law school. And pretty much like every law student in the United States, I took a one semester wills and estates class that was a lot of work, actually. You know, sitting there and having a huge textbook and having hours of reading every night and studying, passing the exam, estate planning and probate is generally a bar exam question. So it's something you have to be completely prepared to go through the bar exam.
Do you mean that for $49.95 they didn't offer this in law school?
I would have so taken that deal. It's like either you sit there, you take the bar exam, you take this class, or you pay $49.95. I think that would have been a no-brainer in terms of what I would have picked. But nobody gave me that option, which is sort of cruel.
Right.
And, you know, one thing that's kind of interesting, too, is, you know, I've now been practicing law, as crazy as that is, for 22 years. I continue to learn.
Right.
It's a really – there's a lot of things. And so most clients tend to think, oh, well, my stuff is super easy.
Right.
So it's really not an issue. And sometimes actually they're right. Their stuff is super easy. And sometimes it's not. But the point is that they really don't know the difference between super easy and not because they haven't been trained. And it's similar to, you know, I have to admit I think I know what I can do and what I can't. And one of the things I would probably never do is conduct surgery on myself.
Exactly.
Because I'm not a doctor and it would really – I don't like blood and the whole thing would just scare me. So if you wouldn't perform your own surgery, I don't understand why people would think that it's okay to, you know, to bypass all of the training, everything that lawyers have, and just go through this process on their own.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And you know, and the thing is, the estate planning process does not have to be this big, scary, overwhelming event. You know, you can hear as we visit with Stacy that, you know, this is a very doable process. It's a series of conversations that you have with your loved ones, and the preparation that you do in advance of meeting with your attorney is key to this process. And, you know, we really count on our attorney partners to be up to date on tax law changes and estate tax issues and really to make sure that when we're no longer here, that the work we've done in advance has set our family up for the easiest transition to life without us. So when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Stacy Romberg. This is Debbie Whitlock, and you're listening to Femme Finance.